at times we look at these issues only in a certain time zone, and it is so very critical to look at issues from a historical perspective. We often want to really jump to the conclusion and learn what is happening today without trying to understand the historical linkages and cultural linkages to the issues. Secondly, a very crucial point here is to understand how some of these groups are using and misusing religious ideology, Islam in this case. That there is this distortion of Islamic principles which some people have developed and an expertise in that area by at times just depicting all of such groups as representatives of mainstream Islam takes away all those forces who we want to join hands with to challenge Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And last but not the least is hard power cannot always resolve issues. It has to be a combination of soft power. And by soft power, I mean at one end, education, at another level, economic opportunities, but even most importantly, the role of civilian law enforcement agencies like police. Whenever we think of Iraq or Afghanistan or Somalia or now the problem in Boko Haram or ISIS in Iraq, we always think in terms of air force strikes. We think of heavy military equipment, whereas success in counterterrorism can only come when it is done through a criminal justice system where you take out some people, target them, but show them this can be dealt with in a rule of law setting. So that ordinary people, young people, may not see as those terrorists as heroes. They should be seen as criminals.
Some would see that as a very Western approach. At times, the West is not exactly the most welcome in terms of ideas. How do we work on trying to at least nudge them in that direction to try to embolden rule of law and soft power?
Great question. Maybe they call an assembly a jirga. Maybe they use different terminologies. But some of the basic ideals, I'll not necessarily link those with the prime or central Western ideals. By and large, stability and a peaceful order is something which every human being desires to have. In terms of organizational capabilities and modern technologies and organizational principle, West has used those phenomena, developed those. So U.S. has and the Western world has a lot to offer. There's always a desire. There's always an intention on the other side. It is how we frame it and how ready we are to help them adjust and at times readjust, compromise and settle issues amicably and in a peaceful fashion.
For Westerners, it's rather difficult to wrap our heads around what the origins are of the Taliban in the region. What are some of the main points that Westerners should be aware of?
Westerners should be aware of that Taliban, this group, militant groups, it's a product of conflict, primarily of the Afghan jihad years of the 1980s. Before that, there were different militias and groups that would come and go for political reasons. But this modern phenomena of a militant group within religious ideology, this is a product of the Afghan jihad years. So this came up in 1990s, but they never looked back. And from then onwards, they benefited at times from distortion of religious ideals. On the other hand, they would use elements of tribalism and tribal ethos, which is called a Pashtun Wali. Then they would also join hand with criminal groups. Currently, for Taliban, the major resource or major their revenue chain is linked to the criminal gangs that operate in that area. Smuggling dens are located in all parts of the areas where Taliban are strong. This is not a group solely linked to a religious extremist idea. It is about criminal groups as well. This is about the nexus between terrorism and organized crime also. And they borrow from tribalism, they borrow from religion, and they're as greedy for power as anyone else would be. That's a kind of an overall comprehensive view, which I think is very critical for the Western world to understand, because in order to challenge them and tackle them, no one policy option can be used. You'll have to focus not only on education on one side, you have to look at how to get these people out of their tribal ethos, and also how a civilian law enforcement model would challenge the criminal network.
I'm sure the hope for many when democracy was introduced to Afghanistan was that perhaps this would be a turning point with the Taliban. But it seems as if the Taliban really isn't interested in a democratic model or being a part of a process.
Very true. Democracy is a great idea, but democracy is a way of life. This is a certain approach to life which just cannot be inculcated overnight. And also, we cannot just think that in a war zone, a country which has gone through 30 years of almost uninterrupted warfare, gang warfare, ethnic battles, terrorism, that we'll just give them this great idea and values of freedom and liberty and pursuit of happiness, and they'll say yes. It's a torn society. The socioeconomic fabric of that society was totally destroyed.
Some would say that perhaps Pakistan was a little too soft on the Taliban or allowing them to operate, but yet they've had to deal with them as far as security issues. What are the main threats that are facing Pakistan at this point, and how are they dealing with the Taliban?
The Pakistani Taliban, in my assessment and based on my research for this book, when I interviewed many people on the ground in both Pakistan and Afghanistan, what I learned was that the Pakistani Taliban were able to join hands with the remnants of Al-Qaeda. So the Pakistani Taliban are divided into about 26 or 30 small groups, and their umbrella group is called Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan, TTP. Pakistani government and the Pakistani state, I think, failed to tackle them partly for two reasons. One, that they failed to really assess the new networking that was developed by these groups. And then, I would say, weak action on the part of Pakistan security forces. The militants had developed this smart technique to cut deals, to benefit, to get some breathing space, to expand their network. Drone policy itself was controversial in many ways. Indeed, we were getting rid of many terrorists, but on the other hand, at times, it led to creation of some more terrorists as well. They continued to pose a very serious threat, not only to Pakistan, but also to Afghanistan, because of their linkages with groups such as Haqqani Group, which operate on both sides of the border.